Welcome, dear friends. Our Footprints series tonight takes us to the 10th leper. Unusual subject, isn't it? Are you the 10th leper? The Lord knows our weaknesses. And tonight, it is my prayer that God will bless us with a grateful heart. We know the moment that Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they fell because of an ungrateful heart. Think of it. The Lord God Creator had made everything perfect, beautiful for them to enjoy. And they, in their free will, chose to doubt and not to believe their Creator. Heart of unbelief, of ingratitude. And that lurks in every one of us. Pardon my saying so, you may think you are very grateful. If so, I say, God bless you. But let us continue that we may tonight learn a great lesson from the Lord Himself. You please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And we shall read about the 10th leper. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off. Now pause a moment. I want you to know this, that the Lord Jesus, passing through that particular village, had already a purpose in his mind. Knowing the ingratitude that lurks in all our hearts, that he might bring forth a lesson by meeting these 10 lepers. And out of that, to come a precious lesson for us tonight, on the 24th of July, 2005, at Pandan Gardens. You believe this? Oh, my friends, God is the God of great things, and He remembers our needs, and He knows that we are dust, and we need to be taught, to be reminded again and again, for we are frail creatures of dust. And we are ever forgetful. That's why the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. God has done so much for us. The problem now is we forget so easily. Now on that day, the Lord says, I'm going this way. And there I shall meet up with 10 lepers. And then there will be an encounter, and out of that will come a lesson that all of us can learn tonight. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Can you imagine 10 voices all together, a great chorus? Why not? You know, they had heard, truly the fame of Jesus had spread through all the land. During his short ministry, no disease was ever uncured. Every illness, every disability, every kind of sickness instantly obeyed the voice of the Son of God. Not the so-called healing that we hear about today, which is the non-healing, please understand. All of it on stage, so-called faith healing, is nothing but a hoax and a deception. Our Lord healed everything, anywhere, anytime, on anybody, free of charge. Here it is. Verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Amazing. You say, what happened? You may want to ask me, what is leprosy? First of all, let me inform you that in Singapore today, there is no leprosy. It used to happen maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, and it was fairly common. Leprosy is due to the leprosy bacterium, a germ. And this particular germ goes for nerves and tissue systems in the human body. And in those days, woe betide the person who is afflicted with leprosy. When it attacks the nerves, the tissue supplied by that nerves die. It is a debilitating, destructive, and a terrible disease that you should never have it. Here are 10 men, all of them lepers, and in those days, lepers were required by law to keep out of society, keep away. If you see people coming, you must just shout aloud, unclean, unclean, don't come near, in case you get infected. So this was the kind of disease they were afflicted with. If it hits your nose, the nose fall off. The fingers fall off. It is crippling and disfiguring. Think of a person who has no nose with a hole in the center. That is leprosy. Oh, it is an awful, dreadful disease, and there are 10 of them. Surely when they heard Jesus was somewhere nearby, their hearts leapt up. Even as we today, when we have any sickness, all of us cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, help us, Lord, heal us, Lord, raise us up," don't we? Well, I tell you this, the Lord Jesus on that day went through that particular route in order that he will leave us this lesson. I repeat this twice so you won't forget. What lesson? That we may all repent of our ingratitude. For we can never be grateful enough to repay the debt we owe our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, no matter what you do. We can never repay. And yet, so often the moment God has answered a prayer, we go and say, "Hello, wonderful, hip, hip, hooray," and we forget. Is that so? Before the event, praying for sickness, pray fervently, every day, everybody pray. Once it is well, one thanksgiving, and everybody disappears. Now, what did the Lord say to them? It's a very amazing way of a cure. Verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." This was the requirement for leprous patients or lepers. When they were thought to be cured, they had to go and be examined by a priest who knew the signs and symptoms and the evidence of a cure. And that priest will examine the person and give him a certificate that now you are cured, you can go back to society. Right? This was the purpose of going to see the priest. Now, the amazing thing is this, in the second part of verse 14, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." How come? In the case of the other leper, more famous than this one, that is Naaman, what did the Lord require him to do? Go wash in the river 7 times. In this case, nothing. The Lord did not give him a lotion, give them a lotion, say apply lotion, or something to wash, to apply, or to bathe in a certain river. Nothing. What lesson do we learn from this? Our God is a God of all wisdom and power. And He wills for you to be blessed in a certain way that is His way. In this case, only a word. You go. In the obedience to that instruction, you go, is the faith manifested in the 10 lepers. They did not ask the Lord Jesus, said, hey, why no medicine? Some lotion, some powder, some cream, some injection, or whatever it is. I tell you, dear friends, when they went and went in faith, God did the healing right away. God can heal in any way. Anyhow, that God determines that you be healed, you are healed. We must have that faith that God does things to our minds, maybe questionable, maybe puzzling, maybe a mystery. So what? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we must always learn this wonderful fact. So as they went, what happened? They were healed. Imagine 10 of them, dirty, filthy. I can tell you this, very smelly, because tissues are rotting in leprous patients. As they went, all of them suddenly found their tissues were healed, regenerated, fresh and new, like baby skin and baby flesh. Amazing. Instantly they knew God was working in their bodies through the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? Who is He? The great God and Creator, for by Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. So here He is demonstrating His creative and regenerative and healing power to these 10 lepers to end. And then they found suddenly, hey, how come? I look at you, you look at me, hey, you are new, I'm new. 10 of them, all happy, and suddenly God did a great work in them. Now, we read on. Verse 15, here is the lesson. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, stopped his walking to the priest, and he turned back. And with a loud voice, came back to Jesus, glorifying God, and fell down at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. And here is the crunch. He was a Samaritan. You know what is a Samaritan? In those days, they were the outcasts of society. They were those who had been planted in the cities, particularly in Samaria, by the invaders who took away the people in captivity but put their own people there, mainly from Assyria and the surrounding countries, put them there. And out of them, by intermarriage with Jews, over the years came a different people, not Jews, but mixed Jews. Sometimes you call them by the derogatory term called half-castes. These are they. So Samaritans were looked down by the Jews as a second-rate citizen, not worth to associate with. And this one who chose to come back, who thought through to himself, hey, I'm a Samaritan. Indeed, I don't deserve the grace of God, the healing that has come over me. I don't deserve it. How come God is so grateful to me that I am almost like born again? So that thought struck him. Does it strike you? You know, all of us owe a debt. All of us. This man realized he owed that debt. And the time to repay that debt is there and then. For if you go away, things may happen. You may not meet Jesus again. The Lord is busy. You are busy. You go and then nothing happens. You have no opportunity to say thank you to the Lord. This man acted. I think we got to learn a lesson from here. I have here a couple of slides, some Chinese words. Now the first one. These are sayings. Footprints are the experiences I've gone through, the things I've learned from my father. And the first one says, 人情仅如身在. How many of you understand what I said? Very few. The rest I can bluff you, don't know. Okay. But it says here, gratitude is urgent, like life debt. What is life debt? Something that you owe that is life and death for you to pay. Do you have that kind of urgency? Oh Lord, if healed me. And so many people promise, Lord, if you do this, this, this to me, I will do that, that, that for you. And so many, I can tell you this, like the 9 who never came back. Forget it. Forget altogether, but not this Samaritan. Gratitude is urgent, like a life debt. Now remember that. If you are Teochew, I read Teochew to you, huh? 能清敬如先者. Okay, how many Teochews? Am I, my Teochew correct? Okay, now we are. So gratitude is like a life debt. And it ought to be urgent. Please, when you ought to say thank you, go straight and say thank you. Never procrastinate. And this Samaritan, I say, thank God for this Samaritan that he left us such a wonderful lesson. Verse 17. And Jesus answering said, hey, were there not 10? Just now when I spoke to you, there were 10 lepers and they were all cleansed. But where are the 9? Verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. How come? And he said unto him, arise, my friend, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now my question to you, dear friends, as you sit here comfortably, firstly, do you thank God? You say, what for? I said, thank God you are not a leper. Thank God we have a good health system that keeps out this horrible disease from Singapore. You thank God for that? Of course, not particularly for leprosy. I say every day, thank God for a good government. You ever realize that so many countries in the world suffer from so many disruptions today? Even the great country of England is not free from terrorism. We are, by God's grace, protected. What do you do? Thank God. Be grateful every day. Thank God for little mercies that he shows to you every day, enabling your little brain box here to work, those gray cells to think, that you can plan and project and prepare things and go forward in your life, all because God allows your brain to work. And your muscles to function and allows you to earn a living. thank God for everything. Let us all learn to be grateful. You know, when I was in school many years ago, I learned a little poem from Shakespeare's As You Like It. I hope I have it here. If not, I have just... Oh yes, here it is. How many of you have studied As You Like It? Anyone? Nowadays, not fashionable, I know. All right, you know this one. This is from Shakespeare. In that poem, he says, "Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. The winter wind is so cold, freezing, painful to be blown by that wind, so unkind, it grips you, it pierces through your bones, eats into your body." That's the winter wind. Now this poet Shakespeare says, man's ingratitude, receiving benefits and forgetting it, never stop to say thank you, never do anything to repay. That kind of ingratitude is worse than the winter wind that blows into you and freezes you up. How is your gratitude, my friends? Before I leave this, I want to impress on you again. Gratitude is urgent, like a life debt. Then another good saying, a proverb left by my father to me, but it is well known, it is a common proverb, is this one. In sui si yuan. You drink water. What do you remember? You think of what? Johor. All our water comes from Johor. You say, wait a minute, now we got new water. All right. Thank God for new water. Whatever it is. Now this proverb says, when you drink, think of the source. Where is the source of water? Not Johor, please. Where is the source of water? Up there. Every day God sends water in the rain from the clouds of heaven comes down. That is the source of water. If God were to withhold the clouds from dropping down rain, we will all be without water, new or old, all finished. Please understand. Thank God every day for drinking water. He sends us the wonderful thing to sustain our life. I learned the lesson of gratitude from parents. Now I have to repeat some of the things I say because it is worth repeating. 1932. In the aftermath of the great Wall Street collapse, today every trader understands what is Wall Street, right? And Dow Jones, right? If you don't know Dow Jones, you better not enter the market. Dow Jones from 400 plunged down to 40. Father's rubber estate plunged down from $100 a pickle to $10, exactly like the Dow Jones, one-tenth. Your income of $100 becomes $10. How do you live? I have told you the story how God went right up to the top of the government medical officer commanding and spoke to him, touched his heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, and in compassion gave him a license to practice in the state of Johor. Now, that is one thing. And of course, Father was very grateful. In after days, having received the license from Dr. Garlick, I hope when you pass by Holland Road area, you open your eyes, you see Garlick Avenue. Father visited Dr. Garlick. "Thank you, sir.
Thank you for that license, that piece of paper that we had for about 20 years, that became the lifeline for a family to live through the few dollars that comes in every day. When rubber was not worth tapping, the license could bring in a few dollars for us to live. Be grateful. So the long and short of the Dr. Garlic story is, we made friends with Dr. Garlic. We visited Dr. Garlic in Garlic Avenue. In the old days, it was just a ulu. It is still the countryside, no avenues, no houses, only Garlic Avenue and Garlic Mansion. He became a good friend, and his two daughters became my patients. So in a way, this is what you call tit for tat. He helped father, I helped his daughters. So that is the story of Dr. Garlic. Now that's not all. There were times again before the license when father and mother were really in want. No money, what do you do? Thank God for friends. God sent good friends. Not all are good, you know. Not all friends are good. Father went to some of them, great doctors, and said, please, can you help? Oh, my bank is in the red. I got so many debts. I'm sorry, but I live in a big mansion with all plenty of cars, but I am very sorry. So he meet all kinds of people. But there was one who was very good and helped father and mother to survive in those days. I wonder if there is anyone here who has that experience. Nowadays, very few poor people in Singapore. Why? Because of the government system of CPF. Everybody who earns got CPF. Every rainy day you withdraw money, you can live. In those days, no CPF. Nothing. What happens then? You need friends. Now, my friends, when I was just 5 years old or so, maybe four, maybe five, so long ago I can't remember, but I know it was before I went to school. Father and mother will prepare every year, Chinese New Year. Mother will make her famous butter cake. Learn from the English missionary ladies in China. They taught her how to bake butter cake. So every year at Chinese, now I'm telling you all home stories, but these are real stories. Bake cakes. Oh, mother baked cakes from morning till night. And roast chicken. The Johor chickens are better than Singapore because they're free running and organic food. So mother baked chicken, roast chicken, baked cake. And then father will take me. By the way, I was his shadow. Wherever he went, I must go. So I had the benefit of following him to visit these people who had given him money. And there to say, thank you very much. This is Chinese New Year. You've helped us so much. Here is a piece of cake. Here is a piece of chicken. Please receive it from all of us in the Senai rubber estate. You helped us to survive another year. Is that good? Those lessons are better than sitting down and listening to a lecture. But those lessons you never forget. And I tell you a strange, funny thing. One day we went to a certain house off Bukit Timah. And there was father, I still remember this very well. Father with a cake and the chicken went in and met with his good old friend called Dr. Hu. And outside in the garden, I met a little boy, a little smaller than me, and we began to make friends. The next year, we went to school, and there he was. Today, he's Dr. Richard Hu. Know who he is? Dr. Hu's father was a Dr. Hu. And he was famous in Singapore for one thing. The doctor who has compassion on patients. If the patient comes and has treatment, and say, "Doctor, I'm too poor." "Don't worry, just take it and go." And he is famous for his generosity. So these are lessons we learn. If that person, who is not a Christian, mind you, not a Christian, but very kind, if he, who is not a Christian, can be so kind to us, how should we, who have the grace of God, be kind to others? These lessons we learn and relearn. We all have to learn. That we understand we all came from nothing. God is the great benefactor, and he sends people to be benefactors to us, to benefit us, to bless us, to help us. What must we do? Are you one of the 9 lepers? Or are you the 10th leper? This is the lesson for tonight. But I want to suggest to all of us here, we all are debtors in a greater way. Not to those who give us money, of course we are debtors to them for gratitude. We are debtors to those who do good deeds to us, who treat us kindly, of course. Let us all learn and relearn that lesson of gratitude, but the greatest lesson of gratitude is to our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. How he gave up heaven's glory. He who was rich for your sakes, for my sake, became poor. That we through his poverty might be rich. That he came to take us, take up our role, our cause, and to become a man. How do you thank him for that? If Jesus could go to the cross and to receive all the punishment due to me, how can I repay him? Paul, persecutor, destroyer of the church, never forgot how good God was to him. You know this. God could easily have, like this, zap, and Paul would become nothing, finished, right? Easily and deservedly. Why he's destroying my people, persecuting the church? That person ought to die. Of course he ought to die. So do we. We know better. Please understand. In God's sight, no one should ever boast and think he is good enough. We are not good enough. And yet God had mercy on you and on me. So when that day I sat under the sound of the gospel in Telo Ayer Street, the Methodist church is still standing there. It's a preserved heritage church. And the preacher, Dr. Johnson, preached, I understood very clearly, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall it give in exchange for your soul? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I did. No regrets. 3 years later, the same doctor says, "Young men, young women, how many of you will come and serve the Lord with your life? Your life that deserves hell and the punishment. Will you give your life to the Lord and serve him?" Hands up. I never forget. Paul says, "I am debtor. I am debtor to the Greeks, to the barbarians. I am debtor to the Chinese, to the non-Chinese. I am debtor to the educated and the uneducated. I am debtor all my life." I say, dear friends, be grateful. How many of you have spoken to someone about his salvation this past week? Ask yourself, right? Please ask yourself. You say, "I don't know how." Why don't you know how? Can you tell someone, some doctor has treated you and healed you of a particular sickness, and someone has the same sickness, can you not tell him? It's just the same. It's not difficult. The only difficulty is to open your mouth. There is a difficulty. I say we all owe a gospel debt, and that gospel debt you got to pay. I got to pay. We all one day will stand before the throne, before the judgment seat of Christ, and be tested, to be weighed, and to be assessed. What have you done with your life, young people? Today is a very special day because we live in the last of the last days. And the time to serve the Lord is not for unlimited days. I say this in all sincerity. If there is a gospel debt to be paid, we are the people to pay it. You and I who have the gospel, go and pay that debt. For Jesus has no hands and feet on earth but yours. No lips and mouth on earth but yours. And if you will not go, what can he do? He can do nothing without you and me. So for that cause, since 1938, I have promised and I've carried out that promise. Repaying the gospel debt. Repaying the debt is an urgent life debt. Gratitude. Pray tonight as you hear all these. God is good to us every day, supplying all our material needs. Right? We all know how to thank him for that. Thank him for supplying our spiritual needs. For healing our soul's disease, which is much, much worse than leprosy. God has healed us by the precious flow from Calvary's mountain. Heal you and me. What are you doing about it? Gratitude is urgent, like a life debt. Consider this, dear friends. And when you drink water, remember the source. When you have the gospel in you, remember the source. And that gospel is to be given out, that it may multiply, may reach someone who is thirsting for that gospel water. May God help us.